In just a few minutes, it's going to be the great joy of all of us in the room to celebrate with those being water baptized today. We'll rejoice with them in their testimony, what Jesus has done in saving them. We'll rejoice with them in their commitment to live for Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, to love Him all the days of their life. We will celebrate all that all together as a church family. It's interesting to consider the concept of family. It's truly something special, isn't it? It really is. And yet there would be other words to describe family, and maybe more specifically, the members of our family. Peculiar, odd, strange. At our wedding, Jenny declared before God and these witnesses that she appreciated the mystery of my uniqueness. How many know that's eloquent wedding talk for you're weird, but I'm willing to marry you anyways? Do you have some folks in your family? There's a mystery and a uniqueness to them, and you may or may not appreciate it. Families can be difficult, trying, stress-causing, rage-building. Families can make you laugh, cry, pull your hair out, scream, bang your head against the wall, all at the same time. This last week, I came across this, different people commenting their thoughts related to family, to their own family. You've heard this before. We are like most families, like fudge. Mostly sweet with a few nuts. Every family has at least one weird relative. If you don't know who it is, it's probably you. Family ties mean that no matter how much you might want to run from your family, you can't. How about this? Good news, the holidays are about family. Bad news, it has to be your own family. I think it was George Burns who said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. Another writes, my family is temperamental, half temper, half mental. Our shared family trait is crazy. My doctor asked if anyone in my family suffers from insanity. I said, no, we all seem to be enjoying it. I especially appreciated this, maybe most of all because it was one that really hit close to home. Our family's just one tent away from a full-blown circus. Finally, this, family is like pizza. It's messy, might give you a stomach ache, but you can't get enough of it. This morning, especially in the context of celebrating with those being water baptized, I just feel it's a great day to celebrate family, to celebrate the church family, this church family, despite the few nuts among us, the weird, half temper and half mental and maybe sometimes more than half crazy. Today we celebrate that. We celebrate this. This is true, really, sincerely. I can't get enough of this. I love the church. I really do. I love the church family. You know, it is true. Maybe we can have relationship with Jesus totally on our own. No need to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters of like-minded faith. No need to commit ourselves to a church family. Maybe we can, but if we can, I don't want to. I'm glad for the church, for this church. I'm glad for you. I love His family. I need His family. You do too, by the way. I want to be in His family. That's for sure true, but as well, I want to be with His family. We here at New Life, we might not always do it right or get it right. We might not be the best, the biggest, the brightest. We might be more nuts than sweet fudge more often than not. We might be only one tent shy of a full-blown circus, but this church family, a church family to call our own, this is worth celebrating. Let me share with you just a few thoughts this morning. In the church, in the family, there's identity. We are the children of God. The world, it seems, would have us to believe that everyone is a child of God. Be careful. That's really not scripturally true. Not at all. It is true that God is the creator of us all, the one who fashioned and formed us, knit us together in our mother's womb. And it is true that we are all made in his image. But we are not his children because of that. And so despite that being true for all of us, it's not true that all of us would be his children. Listen to how Jesus identifies some folks in John. In John chapter 8 and verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." Jesus continues, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. But we do belong to him. We are his children, and we are that in the family. We share that identity with one another because of Jesus, because of what he's done for us, because of our turning to him to receive what he's done for us." In John chapter 1, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." In Galatians 3 and verse 26, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." In Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin." Listen, you and I know a pretty way to say it. We used to belong to the devil. He who was a murderer from the beginning, he was your father and mine, and we did his bidding. Because of that, we were dead in our transgressions and sin, which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Remember, you were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near. For he is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners, no longer aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Not because of who we were, not because of race, education, wealth, nationality, not because of culture, not because of ancestry, but because of Jesus, we are granted a place in God's family. We are made to be his children. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, "Both the one who makes men holy," track with me on this, "the one who makes men holy," that's Jesus, "he makes you holy. And those who are made holy," that's you and me. Both the one who is holy and makes people holy are of the one and same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Wow, right? Do you understand this morning? In God's family, his child, just like Jesus. So that he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call you brother, not ashamed to call you sister, I don't know how you would normally identify yourself, but I want to encourage you in this, who you are in Him, a child of God. You're a brother of Jesus, a sister of Jesus. Listen, you might not be much in this world, but wow, the family that is yours. And in the family, all of us His children, we are brothers and sisters together. This, our identity, family, a place of belonging and family, where as brothers and sisters, we be connected to one another, welcomed by one another, accepted by one another, challenged, spurred on to good works by one another. We're not meant, listen, we were never meant to do this Christianity thing on our own. We're created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for a family. We're better together. We grow. We develop spiritually better together. We share in ministry and mission in our community and around the world better together. Listen, we are His hands. We are His feet, His eyes, His heart, and we're able to better be all that, better demonstrate all that together, corporately and collectively, more than we could ever do individually on our own. We do life, we experience life, we navigate through life better together, in fellowship, in shared experiences, in authenticity, in honest, heartfelt communication with one another, sharing the truth, sharing our hurts, sharing our failures, sharing our shortcomings with one another, in compassion and empathy and sympathy, in grace and mercy, in here, in the church, in the family, with the family. There's a place of grace. I like the way that one puts it, where mistakes aren't rubbed in, but rubbed out. In here, in the church, in the family, with the family, redemption. Restoration. This is the celebration today. This is the reason. This is the cause for joy in the house of the Lord today. Because of Him, we've been made to be children of God. Our identity, that's who you are. And granted a place of belonging in His family. Listen, think yourself insignificant, alone, hopeless, and helpless, without a friend, without anyone, no one to understand. No one to be with you, no one to be for you, no one to walk with you through the trouble, no one to come to your rescue, no one to lend a hand, provide some relief. Listen, you have to hear me this morning. There's a Jesus in heaven who's not ashamed to call you brother, call you sister. And there's a room full of people in this place where you belong, a room full of people that call you and count you as family. That's your identity. With the identity in the family, there's responsibility. First of all, to the Lord. In Mark 3, we read this, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Jesus responds, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. And Luke, it's this, whoever hears God's word and puts it into practice, that's his brother, that's his sister, that's his mother, that's the one in the family, in his family then. That's the responsibility that we have to him. So, child of God, we don't often say it this way, but again, from Mark and Hebrews even as well, brother of Jesus, sister of Jesus, are you doing his will? Are you putting his word into practice in your life? You're in the family, his family. Are you fulfilling your responsibility to him? In Galatians chapter 5, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who are in the family, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the responsibility. The sinful nature, the sinful desire stuff, crucified, dead. We don't do it anymore. We don't live that way anymore. We belong to Him. We're in the family. So we stay in step with the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. In 1 Peter 1, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it's written, be holy, because I'm holy. That's the responsibility. To be like Him. To be holy like He's holy. In 1 John chapter 3, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. To be right and righteous, to do right and to do what is righteousness, that's the responsibility. And with that, to love our brother. Not only then do we have a responsibility to him, we have a responsibility as well to one another. Look around the room this morning. In the family, his family, you have a responsibility to love who you see here. In Matthew 22, Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength. And with that, the second greatest commandment, to love others even as you love yourself. Look around the room this morning. If you're not loving who you see, like you love who you see when you look in the mirror, you're not fulfilling your responsibility in the family. We love one another. We're devoted to one another. We encourage one another. We care for one another. We serve one another. We honor one another. In Philippians chapter 2, we do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, we even consider others, we honor others better than ourselves. We don't look only to our own interests, but also to the interest of others. We submit to one another. We nurture and nourish one another. We pray for one another. We fellowship with one another. We teach one another. We admonish one another. We hold one another accountable. In Hebrews chapter 10, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's what we do. That's our responsibility. Look around the room. Who have you motivated lately? To be and to do more like Jesus. To love more and to love better. To do more and better the good work for their family, for their community, for His kingdom. We bear one another's burdens. We rejoice with one another. We rejoice in God's work in the life of our brother, in the life of our sister. God saving and strengthening. God drawing them nearer and nearer. God maturing them. God blessing them. We rejoice in seeing God's plan and God's will worked out, fulfilled in the life of a brother, the life of a sister. We mourn with one another. We forgive one another. One writes this, the church family moves you out of self-centered isolation. It's in the family that you learn to love others more than yourself. Serve others rather than yourself, and give to and for others instead of yourself. The church family changes you from being a consumer. It's all about me, 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 all about feeding me, giving to me, helping me, from that to being a contributor. It's all about others. What can I do for them? The church family, then, it's not something you use for the benefits it provides you. Rather, it's what you give yourself to make it better, to make it stronger. That's the responsibility we have, to give ourselves to one another, to make our brother, to make our sister, to make the family stronger. We live our lives in the context of community, a community that involves our responsibility to one another. In the end, Galatians chapter 6, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Maybe that's a good summation then of it all. In the family, your responsibility to the family, do good to them. Do good for them. Can I ask you then, for the brother, for the sister, what good have you done lately? If you've got nothing, then you've missed it. The responsibility you have in the family, the responsibility you have to the family. Finally, this morning, number three, in the family, there's identity, there's responsibility, and there's a guarantee. Ephesians chapter 1, because of what Christ did, all you others too who heard the good news about how to be saved and trusted Christ were marked as belonging to Christ by the Holy Spirit, who long ago had been promised to all of us as Christians. His presence within us is God's guarantee that he will really give us all that he promised. And he, that being the Spirit, the Spirit's seal upon us, means that God has purchased us and that he guarantees to bring us to himself. Do you understand? In the family, for the family, the guarantee is heaven. Maybe especially on this weekend, set aside to honor those who have given their lives in service to this country, but also to honor family and friends who have passed away. We remember them. In that, good for us to be reminded of this. But for the family, the guarantee of heaven. I could take you to my mom's grave tomorrow. We could go and lay flowers there, and it would be right and good for us to do that. But the guarantee is this: she is not there. Certainly is not dead and gone. Her body may sleep, but her spirit is very much alive, eternally enjoying the presence of the Lord. That's the guarantee of the family. As I look around this room, I can't help but be reminded of, oh, how that should encourage so many of us today. Do you understand the guarantee this morning? Honor them, remember them, celebrate them, visit their grave tomorrow, lay flowers there, but remember in it all this: Spirit alive in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul takes up the same argument. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. And we're not afraid, but are quite content to die, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Paul says this is what God has prepared for us. And as a guarantee of it all, he has given us his Spirit. That's the guarantee. At home with the Lord, eternally enjoying all that he has prepared for us, eternally enjoying heaven where Jesus is, where we shall be with him, where we shall see God and eternally enjoy unbroken fellowship with him and eternally experience the fullness of him, the fullness of his goodness, his glory and his majesty, his grace, his mercy, his holiness, his power. Heaven, that's the guarantee, where all hurts are gone. Heartaches and headaches and backaches gone, sickness and stress, worry and anxiousness, fear, discouragement, despair, depression, turmoil and trouble, chaos and confusion, all gone. No more sin, no more brokenness, no more betrayal, no more anger, no more resentment, no more bitterness, no more hatred, no more poverty, no more abuse, no more disease. It's gone. All of it gone forever. That's the guarantee. Heaven, paradise, where the wolf and the lamb feed together, where the lion eats straw like the ox, where the poisonous snakes strike no more, where nothing and no one will ever be hurt or destroyed. I like the way that one has put it. Heaven is where Jesus is. And sin and sickness isn't. To that he adds, enough said then. Heaven will be glorious, and you will want to spend eternity there. In 1 Corinthians 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. One writes this, try this. Imagine a perfect world. Whatever that means to you, imagine it. Does that mean peace? Then envision absolute tranquility. Does a perfect world imply joy? Then create your highest happiness. Will a perfect world have love? Ponder a place where love has no bounds. Whatever heaven means to you, imagine it. Get it firmly fixed in your mind. Delight in it. Dream about it. Long for it. And then smile as God reminds you from the Apostle Paul's words, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no one has imagined what he's prepared for them. No one has come close. Think of all the songs about heaven, all the artist portrayals, all the lessons preached and poems written and chapters drafted. Listen, when it comes to describing heaven, we are all happy failures. In the end, a place infinitely and indescribably better than we could ever imagine. Eternally enjoying that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. Wonder of it all. You understand this morning, for the family, that's the guarantee. No wonder then the celebration of family today. The songwriter writes, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're family. And these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. And this you know, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad. I am so glad to be a part of his family. And I would hope this morning that you are as well. Father, we thank you today for the family that is your family. We thank you for the family that is the church, the family even that would be this church. We thank you that because of Jesus, we are a new creation and we have a new identity in you. We are not who we used to be. We don't do what we used to do. We're children of God. We're brothers and sisters together in your family. Lord, some of us, it's our testimony. You bring the lonely and you set them in family. Thank you for bringing us into family. How we rejoice in that today. How we celebrate that today. Lord, may we be faithful in the responsibility that is ours. May we love you and serve you and be faithful to you. I pray it for each one in this room, that they would understand church isn't just a box we check. Yes, we did that on Sunday. Yes, we were there. Good deed done. We're good for the week. No, we would understand instead that in the family, there's a responsibility we have to you and to one another. We're not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to do Christianity alone. We need the family, and the family needs us. Would you remind us of that today? And Lord, would you set in our hearts the assurance of heaven's guarantee to us? We're transitioning to baptism next, but I just want to pause for a moment, just give you an opportunity to respond to the word of the Lord. Maybe you're not in the family. We're not all children of God. That happens in Jesus and through Jesus. Maybe this morning there would be encouragement that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to you. You've beaten yourself up a bunch. The devil's been beating you up. Life has. Would you hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart this morning? But you're a child of God. And look around the room. There's a whole family of brothers and sisters that love you and are for you and would walk with you. Maybe this morning you're challenged. The responsibility, maybe just truth be told, just real talk this morning. You haven't been faithful in the responsibility in the family. And this morning you're reminded of it. As we read through our responsibility related to Christ and the verses and what they spoke to us, maybe there was something inside you that challenged you, that convicted you, but you're not doing that. But that's what the family does. That's how the family demonstrates a responsibility to the Lord. This morning, you would sense a need to change that, to fix that, to make that right. Maybe it's to one another. Maybe you walk in, you walk out, and there's no relationship. There's no connection to one another. There's no loving one another. Sure, you would say you do, but there's no demonstrating that love. There's no serving one another. There's no honoring one another. I don't know maybe what the Spirit has spoken to you or even what He would speak to you now. I just want to give you a moment to respond to Him. How about this? Just for a moment, can we say thank you to Jesus for letting us be in the family? Come on, would you thank Him for saving you? Would you thank Him for what He's done in your life? Made you alive in Christ Jesus. Thank Him for that. Set you in a family. We thank you, Lord. We thank you today and rejoice in what you've done for us. We celebrate the family today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray that you rejoice in the family that God has brought you into and made you a part of. I pray that it's your song throughout the day, one of those that gets stuck in your head and doesn't leave. I am so glad I'm a part of His family.